It's the Denver CityCast and the Bet Rivers Network. Holden Kushner with you as always. We're going to talk a little bit about John Elway. Goodbye, John Elway. The Nuggets clinching the number one seed in the West, first time in the history since they've been in the NBA. The NHL, the Avs playing the Sharks tonight. We'll get to those odds and some good news for those of you that tailed me on the Avs futures to win the division. It's looking like it's getting closer and closer. LeBron James complaining. MLB is so much easier to watch this year than years past. And Ian St. Clair, play Colorado, playcolorado.com. Let's get into the Nuggets, though. Number one in the front range for four biggest sports stories in the front range. The Nuggets clinching the number one seed in the West. Fifth straight postseason trip for the Nuggets. This really is the golden age of the Nuggets. And if Jokic continues on his course, they should make it 10, 12 years in a row. Let's talk some MVP real quick. This thing's over. Jokic is not going to win it. NBA MVP is all wrapped up. Embiid minus 625. Joker plus 800. So the future that I bet at plus 230 a couple weeks ago, that's done. Dunsky, absolutely wrapped up. Few different things, but the reasons why, the biggest reason is that the Joker's been sitting a lot down the stretch to rest his calf. And some people thought it was kind of gamesmanship. It's not gamesmanship. Something's going on with this guy. Nonetheless, Embiid's going to cash that one. As far as the team goes, Bucks, Celtics, Suns, all favorites to win it all. All the favorites. Those are the top three. The Nuggets are plus 700, so they are the fourth shortest odds to win it all, plus 700. Now, the Nuggets have blown through their season win total. That was set at 49.5. They're 52-27 right now. I mean, this team, again, very, very special. Ultimately, they'll be judged on their postseason success. We remember in the bubble, they got to the conference finals. You know, last year was a disappointment against the Warriors. And then the front office goes out, brings in Bruce Brown and KCP, trying to change things around here, trying to fight with the Warriors. Well, this is interesting, though. Very interesting. Because it's too late for the number two seed now. The road for the number one seed could lead to the Lakers in the first round and the Suns in round two, and that is obviously not ideal. I don't think anybody wants to play the Lakers anytime soon, despite the fact that LeBron's whining and complaining, and I'll get to that in just a little bit. And then there's the Suns, who've won six straight. But you're going to have to beat... It doesn't matter your opponents. You're going to have to beat the teams that are sitting in front of you. It just doesn't seem like the first seed was ideal. You're not going to tank for the two seed. It's not going to happen. But the Suns are locked into the four seed. They could still face the Warriors in round two as well. You know, the Warriors are just looming. They're just hanging out there. The number two seed could also get the Lakers, but they could also get the Pelicans and the Kings. So, you know, the path to making a deeper run as it stands right now is the number two seed. All I'm saying is that the number one seed is a great accomplishment that might actually create a little tougher road for the Nuggets. Now, tonight, they've got a game in Phoenix against the Suns, and I'm not betting this game. I don't want to touch it. Nuggets plus 7.5, plus 240 money line, 223 is the total. The Suns are still playing a little bit. A little bit. And I told you, the last week in the NBA is a complete debacle when it comes to players sitting out. Really, the last 2 weeks of the season, but especially this week. There's no reason for Joker to play. There's no reason for Murray to play. And we'll get to that in just a little bit. But again, why bother betting the NBA at this point? Wait till the playoffs. The play-in tournament is, what, 8 days away? The play-in tournament's right around the corner. So stick around for that. Just relax. Actually, I take it back. 5 days away until the play-in tournament. 5 days away to the play-in, and then we've got the actual playoffs starting in 9 days. Let's talk a little more Nuggets. My concern heading into the playoffs, and this is why Joker should not play tonight, and Murray should not play tonight, and Zeke Nagy shouldn't play tonight. Joker's calf, as far as a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being most concerned, I'm going to give it a 4. He's been resting it. He's got another week to sit. I don't know how much he plays down the stretch. If he plays tonight, how much does he even play? So I am concerned about it. We've seen the Joker miss some time. 4 out of 10 there. But again, he's got another week and a half to rest it. Doesn't have to play any of these games. I'd be a little concerned about his conditioning. So you'd like to see him get into a game or two before the end of the regular season. 4 out of 10. Jamal Murray has a thumb injury. And that right now is a 6 out of 10 because he re-injured that the other night. He tweaked it again. And an injury to a shooter's hand is always a concern. So 6 out of 10 there. If Jamal Murray is not playing at his peak, then this team does not make a deep run. Joker's got to be playing at his pinnacle. Murray has to be playing at his pinnacle. Those are the two most important players on this team. Zeke Nagy's knee sprain, give me a 2 out of 10. Not worried about that. And he's been playing better as of late as well. The number two concern that I have, number one was injuries. Number two, KCP, 7 out of 10. He just looks tired. And Harrison Wynn came up with this from DNVR. His three-point shooting splits by month. He started the season out red hot. October, 53%. November, 47%. December, 43%. January, 44%. So he was hanging right out into the mid 40 range. February, 38%. March, 25%. Here's another guy that needs to sit. KCP. Tired legs. He needs time off down the stretch. Give him some time off. So KCP giving me a 7 out of 10 concern level. Also a 7 out of 10 concern level, which is a well above average concern, the Denver bench. It's not good. Michael Malone needs to trust his rookie, his big rookie, Christian Brown. Brown needs to be playing more. He needs to be playing a ton. He is one of their best defenders. He brings energy off the bench. He can knock down a three. He needs to be playing more. Michael Malone needs to get over the concern of trusting rookies. Christian Brown needs to play. It's just as simple as that. Next up, as far as the bench goes, Bruce Brown needs to step up in the playoffs. He's playing much better over the last 10 games or so. Reggie Jackson brings experience. Thomas Bryant, complete waste. I mean, this is embarrassing. Malone's sick of him. The fan base is sick of him. I don't see him playing much of a role in the playoffs. Maybe Peyton Watson comes in and plays a couple of minutes to add a spark. And then there's Jeff Green and there's Chanchar too. Chanchar's been up and down. He's had some really nice games. But they don't have anyone to give Jokic a rest. So we'll see a lot of small ball. Get ready for that. A lot of small ball when Jokic sits in the playoffs. And a final thought on that awful loss to Houston the other night. Here's what Michael Malone had to say. He goes, if that's how we're going to play, we'll be out in the first round. Houston is the dreg of the league. One of the three worst teams in the league. When we don't do our jobs, Malone said, there's accountability. And I speak the truth. I just called our team soft. And I dared someone to challenge me and no one did. I'm not saying we're soft, but we were. So I'm going to make an excuse for this team. They were playing freaking Houston. And they basically had the number one seed wrapped up. They were flat and soft because they were playing Houston. I'm not worried about this team being soft in the playoffs. I'm worried more about having to slog through a series against the Lakers and then right after that play the Phoenix Suns. That's what I'm concerned about. Concerned about being soft in the playoffs? 1 out of 10. Basically a 0 out of 10. This is not a soft basketball team, and I don't expect more performances like they had against Houston the other night. That was number one on the Front Range for four biggest sports stories on the Front Range. Number two, Avs taking on the Sharks tonight. Odds and a best bet in just a moment. The Avalanche, though, they have finally ascended to the top spot in the Central Division. They're tied with Dallas and Minnesota with 98 points, and the Avs have a game in hand with 6 to play. Now, our plus money bets on them to win the division at various times this season is alive and well. And Ian St. Clair and I are going to talk about this. I think he's a little more worried about it than I am. Little more worried. Same thing with Springer, Mark Springer, our other guy who does the Avs post games. So the regular season ends a week from Friday. And I don't think the pipe dream of Gabriel Landeskog returning is going to happen by the first round or in the first round. If it happens, it's going to be later than that. Deeper into the playoffs, and I'm feeling pretty good about this team making a nice deep run in the playoffs. I'm not counting on that. I am feeling good about Francois returning, Lekkonen, and Manson. This team is playing well, and they're going to finish the regular season with the division crown and likely the 4 seed in the West. Now, none of this is wrapped up. This is just how I'm feeling about it. They're looking for back-to-back wins against the Sharks. They had a 2-goal lead. They gave up a 2-goal lead. MacKinnon ended up putting the team on his back, winning in overtime. And tonight, the Avs are plus 106 in the puck line. Got to win by 2 or more goals. Minus 235 money line, total 6.5, juice to the over at minus 113. So the Avs have won 11 of 13. 11 of 13. Georgiev probably in goal tonight. He started 8 of the last 9 contests. He's been great this year. 2.54 goals against, 919 save percentage, 5 shutouts. Jonas Johansson is the backup until Francois returns. See if we see Johansson tonight. I don't think it matters. Colorado's the better team all around. They're not going to have a letdown against one of the dregs of the league in the Sharks. And as of this taping, I'm not sure Cale Makar is going to be healthy enough to play, but they beat this team the other night. They really dominated him for a lot of the game. With or without Makar, this team's just so much better than San Jose. They still have the division and seeding to play for. Give me the Avalanche puck line plus 106 official play on Bet Rivers. Let's get into number 3 on the front range for the 4 biggest stories on the front range. And that is going to be John Elway. Goodbye, John Elway. He is no longer in an official capacity with the Denver Broncos. No longer. It's over. It's time. Greatest legacy in the history of Denver sports. Greatest winner in the history of Denver sports. There's not another Denver Bronco, not even Peyton Manning, that has accomplished as much as John Elway. Really on and off the field. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. There's no Rockies that have been that great. I mean, Arenado was amazing. Didn't win any titles. Didn't come close. The Nuggets, maybe Jokic gets there. Jokic's going to have to win, you know, 3-4 NBA finals. And I don't see that happening. And then there's hockey. I mean, there's Joe Sakic. Maybe Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar can end up winning 3 or 4 Stanley Cups. But John Elway, the greatest legacy in Denver sports history. But it's time. Now, it's very important that we separate Elway as a player and Elway as a GM. As a player, you know what he brought. One of the top 5 quarterbacks in the history of the National Football League. It's Brady. It's Peyton Manning. It's John Elway right in there. It's Joe Montana right in there. And you could pick number 5. There's a lot of different guys that you could pick from. But this is my list. And Elway's a top 5 quarterback all time. The GM part of things, he gets crushed, you know, for the last 4 or 5 years. And he should. He had horrible drafts. The team was bad. He was the GM at the helm of this awful run that the franchise is on right now. But let's also not forget, and some would say, well, he wasn't the only reason they got Peyton Manning. He was a huge reason they got Peyton Manning and a huge reason why they won a Super Bowl and they went to another one. So again, as bad as some people think Elway was as a general manager, there aren't too many general managers that have gotten their teams to 2 Super Bowls and won one of them. So again, a mixed legacy, no mixed legacy as a player, a mixed legacy as a general manager. And I think that almost all of the fan base would say, goodbye, stick around, you're the greatest, and we'll celebrate you from here on out. All right, let's get to number 4 on the front range four. I'm going to combine 2 things, okay? I'm going to combine LeBron James, believe it or not. He's complaining again. Amazing. And then I want to talk about baseball too. Rockies home opener. This won't be posted in time for me to give you a play, so I'm not going to bother as they take on the Nationals this afternoon. But so Lakers lose 125-118 last night. They trail by as many as 24, okay? And they're in the play-in game, but they still have a shot to get one of those top six seeds, which is fascinating to me. So LeBron comes out and he says, it's one of the toughest games we've had this year. He scored 30 of his team-high 33 points after halftime, okay? The guy still got it, playing in spurts. He also had a team-high 6 turnovers. He goes, coming off the road trip and getting back late last night after an overtime game was one of those scheduling conflicts in the season and definitely got the best of us tonight. Yeah, first of all, I wish they play back-to-backs in the playoffs. Second of all, are you kidding me, dude? The second most accomplished player, maybe the third most. Michael Jordan won, maybe Wilt Chamberlain or Bill Russell, and then LeBron. And he's complaining about having to play back-to-backs? Oh, poor LeBron James. I wonder how much he's going to be crying when the Lakers end up getting every freaking call in the playoffs. I mean, this is where we are in today's NBA. The players are complaining about having to play back-to-backs. One of those scheduling conflicts in the season definitely got the best of us tonight. Listen, here's what's going on in the Lakers. They got LeBron, they got AD, they got Russell. LeBron's body is breaking down. We've seen that over the last 2 years. AD, if he sneezes the wrong way, could be out for a month. This is the most polarizing team in the NBA right now. Because with LeBron and with AD, you could see this team making a run in the West. One of those two guys goes down, they're losing. Whatever series that happens in, they're losing that series. But again, as much as LeBron wants to whine and complain about this, I don't want the Nuggets to have to see the Lakers. Not in the first round. Not really at all. But that would be the toughest first round matchup of just about any team that is a two seed or higher. So not a great matchup. I don't want to see LeBron. His team's going to get the calls. Can the Nuggets beat the Lakers? Absolutely 100%. But I want to avoid that draw as much as possible. Now, the other thing would be baseball. And baseball is so much easier to watch because of the pitch clock. It's more fun with a pickoff rule because we get to see more stolen bases. Rob Manfred, for as much as I have ripped him, for as much as Major League Baseball fans have ripped him, and even some players, a lot of players and some executives have ripped him, this is game changer. This is a game changer, and this might be the legacy of Rob Manfred. He's changed a lot of things, and a lot of things have been unpopular. But getting the time of game down 30 minutes, and not 30 minutes of action, 30 minutes of pitchers grabbing their crotch and spitting, and hitters just stepping out of the box, taking 10 deep breaths, messing with their batting gloves. If you're old enough to remember Nomar Garciaparra. I mean, this is just a better product. And it reminds me of baseball back in the 80s when you had game times in 2 hours and 20 minutes, 2 hours and 30 minutes. I get it. If you're going to a Rockies game, maybe you're a little freaked out. You got to go to the bathroom. You got to stand in line on opening day or when there's a big crowd. You might miss a full inning of play, maybe an inning and a half of play. You go get concessions. You might be missing 2 innings of play. So it might take a little bit away from in person, but for the rest of us, I mean, maybe you got to go to the bathroom once. Maybe you got to go get something to eat once. You miss an inning. You miss an inning and a half. So be it. Having a chance to watch the game and be engaged the whole time and not fall asleep in between batters, to me, it is spectacular. Absolutely a great product. I love the pickoff rule too. I mean, how many times do we have to boo when a pitcher would throw to first 3, 4, 5, 6 times? Oh, it's the worst. Well, now you can only do it twice. And watching a stolen base is fun. It's one of the more underrated experiences in all of sports. And I like it. Ian St. Clair here for his weekly 3-2-1. Ian St. Clair here for his weekly hit, Play Colorado, playcolorado.com, Mile High Report. Ian, wonderful to catch you once again. We were just talking about the revenue here as far as sports betting goes. And as always, after the Super Bowl, it takes a little hit, huh? I mean, we're a basketball betting state, but the NFL is just such a big part of our betting across the country and here in Colorado too.
100%. And that's why in any market, you're going to see a dip from February to March to April to May. It's expected. We see it in every market. We've seen it since sports betting launched in Colorado in 2020. So it's not expected. It's going to continue to happen. I think the biggest news out of the February numbers was the amount of taxes coming in to the state from sports betting. It was down a little bit from January, but the fact that it was up 1.25 million compared to the 314,000 in February of last year, I think shows you the continued maturity and growth of this market.
So let me ask you this. Kansas is now legal, right? Are these states that are legalizing sports betting around us, is that taking handle away from us? Like, how many people really came over from Kansas to the Colorado border to make a bet? I know it happened, right? But that can't be a significant part of the handle, is it?
Well, let's look at Wyoming. It's interesting you mentioned that because Wyoming legalized sports betting a couple of years ago. And one of the reasons that the sponsoring legislator from Casper wanted to legalize sports betting in Wyoming was the amount of people driving over the border, coming from Cheyenne, coming from the eastern plains of Wyoming. So Pine Bluffs, Burns, and even Laramie going down into Fort Collins there. That's one of the reasons that he wanted to legalize sports betting. So the people would do it in Wyoming and Wyoming would get the benefits of it. So it may not be a huge amount. It's not going to impact Colorado because people were betting here anyway, because people in Western Kansas may drive over the border from those little towns along I-70 or even further up if you go along US 34. But it's not going to be significant, if at all. I think one of the reasons Kansas legalized was to stick it to Missouri, who continues to not realize that they're missing out on a huge opportunity with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Yeah, because my first job out of college was in a little dump in Southwest Kansas. I mean, we couldn't have been more than 30 minutes from the border, Liberal Kansas. I mean, we used to have baseball games across the border in the summer leagues. And again, if you really wanted to bet, it's not a long drive. And as a matter of fact, when I was out at our company party a couple of weeks ago in Kentucky, they just legalized betting there, but we had to drive over to Ohio to place our bets. And I know guys that are dropping, you know, 5, 10, 15K on a bet that are doing it, but still the handle is so much bigger that isn't really much of a blip, is it?
No, it's not at all. And if you really want to get into the weeds, you have states like New Jersey and New York, which ban in-state betting on colleges. So if you wanted to bet on a college in New York, you'd have to cross over the bridge to do it in New Jersey and vice versa. Illinois does this. Virginia does this, where they ban people betting on the in-state colleges. Colorado got it right. Colorado is one of the few states that actually allows you to bet on the University of Colorado, Colorado State, and Air Force. Not that there's been much reason to, but there is now with Prime. But it's stuff like that. Like the fact that states aren't figuring this out, that it's still happening. The reason that you want to legalize it and regulate it is because people are already doing it. They're just doing it on offshore illegal sports books. So the fact that people in Missouri, they're driving over to Kansas, if they're going into Kansas and they're just staying in Missouri and using an offshore book.
All right. So last thing, everything is legal here. Literally marijuana, mushrooms are legal. Sports betting's like anything you can imagine is legal in Colorado, with the exception of player prop bets
on colleges.
It absolutely drives me nuts. I would have loved to bet college player props in Colorado. Why is that? Like, what's the rule there?
I think it's partly because they want to try to keep, quote, integrity into the game. And because some of the players who you may be betting on aren't 21, I don't know how much of an impact that is. I think they're just being overtly cautious with it. They're allowing fans to bet on it. They may revisit it. The Colorado Limited Gaming Control Commission may revisit it if people are bringing it up, or if the books come to them and want to do it, they may revisit it. But I think it's more about the integrity and the look of it, as we're seeing now with all these colleges and operators ending their sportsbook agreements. We saw one in recently go by the wayside here in Colorado, which was the first one. So I think it's more along those lines than like not just wanting to not allow it.
All right. That was a nerdy betting discussion. Let's get into actual sports. How does that sound to you? You basically threw a party when Joe Ellis stepped away from the Broncos. Now John Elway no longer with the Broncos after his contract ended. I'm sure they'll parade him around, you know, as a piece of meat. As, hey, it's John Elway hanging out with all the big corporate sponsors. But what are your thoughts on that? Like, you were excited when Ellis was out. What do you think about Elway no longer with the organization in a real sense?
It's time. I'm one of the people who is able to separate what John Elway meant to this organization as a player and his time as a GM. And you have to give him credit. He was the general manager and put the roster together for a team that went to two Super Bowls and won one. Now, a lot of people want to credit Peyton Manning. That's fine. You can, but who signed Peyton Manning? It was John Elway. And Pat Bowlen was still around at that time. He wasn't the way that he was, but he was still around. And I think that was a big reason that Peyton Manning signed. But John Elway was a part of that. But you also have to account for what happened after Peyton Manning retired. Uh-huh. And his drafts and his decisions were absolutely egregious from a football and organizational standpoint. So it's time. He needs to go away. He needs to focus on his car dealerships. He can do his day drinking now when it's not at the office.
Oh, come on.
And it's time. You need to get fresh eyes, fresh blood. And we're seeing that with George Payton and Greg Penner and now Sean Payton. You salute John Elway for the amazing quarterback and player that he was and what he meant to this organization. I don't think people really credit him for how great of a quarterback he was. To me, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. I would put him in the top three. And for a comparison's sake, if you put Elway on those teams in the with Bill Walsh and the 49ers in the 80s, that team never loses a Super Bowl. You put Joe Montana on those Broncos teams, they don't go to three Super Bowls in 4 years.
All right, so we're not going to debate that right now. We're going to move on to the Avs. Our boys took the lead in the division. They're now tied with a game in hand. They got the Sharks coming up tonight. Like, we've talked about this at multiple points and times this season, right? We hit them to win the cup at plus 600, you know, plus 350 to win the West. Still getting plus money on the division for a while. And it looks like they're going to close this thing out for us. Now, there's still, what, six games to go and five for the other teams. But, man, I get the knock against the Avs because they haven't beaten these teams that are playoff bound. But they're playing some really good hockey, aren't they?
Oh, they're playing unbelievable hockey. They've been the best team in the league since the middle of January when we were all freaking out they might not even make the playoffs. So I think what you're seeing is a team that's starting to get confident, and you're seeing it in Nathan MacKinnon. I've said this a couple of weeks ago. This Nathan MacKinnon is on a mission. He wants to win that second cup. And he said something that was very interesting after that San Jose game on Tuesday. And he said, we're dangerous. And we're going to continue to be dangerous as guys come back. And I told you that I in my gut, I felt that Gabriel Landeskog was going to play in game one, round one. He's on this trip. He's with the team. Josh Manson is on this trip with the team. Arturi Lehkonen is on the trip with this team. They're skating. They're around the team. That's just going to give even more confidence to a team that is, in my opinion, the best team in hockey since mid-January. Now, they're going to need some help. They need the Pittsburgh Penguins to beat the Minnesota Wild tonight, Thursday, And then they need the Las Vegas Golden Knights to beat the Dallas Stars. If they're able to get that help, they win the division.
Or they just run the table.
True. They absolutely win. But it's a little dicey. They have the LA Kings and they have the Edmonton Oilers at home. Those are two tough games. But I think they have the advantage over Edmonton. They know how to beat the Edmonton Oilers. And it goes back to the Western Conference final last year. It goes back to that game where they were down, 3-0 and 4-1, and they came back to win. Mm-hmm. So they know how to beat Edmonton. I'm just saying those two games will be tough. It'd be nice to get some help from the Penguins and the Golden Knights.
It would be nice to get some. It would be very nice to get some help there. Francois's got to come back too. I mean, Georgiev can't keep doing this workload. Like at some point in time, Pavel is going to be back. I'm not with you. I'm not holding out any hope that Landeskog is going to come back and do very much. Maybe if they make a run to the cup, like conference finals, the finals, but I'm not as optimistic as you are about Landeskog. Unless you're seeing something I'm not seeing, I'm just not optimistic.
I'm seeing the growth and the improvement that he's made skating wise. Okay. And he's a professional athlete, so he's going to be in shape. We don't know the lengths to which that he's kept himself in shape behind the scenes. We don't see that. But looking from the first time that he stepped on the ice at the training center to where he is now, he still has 2 weeks, a week and a half before the playoffs start. That's still enough time for him to get set up, to be ready to go. And part of me wonders how much the organization is just like pumping the brakes to not get people excited, but also because they've had him on long-term IR. So he hasn't impacted the cap. So they don't want to have any sort of investigation into, well, you're saying all this stuff, but he's not playing. So part of me wonders if that's been part of the conversation from Jared Bednar whenever he's asked about Landeskog.
So to wrap this thing up here, how about the Masters? I saw you tweet this out earlier. You were out and you had a chance to go out there and walk the course and everything. It's not something I've done, and I'm not that big of a golf guy. I like betting golf more than actually watching golf. Talk to me here. What was that experience like?
Everything that you could possibly imagine about going to Augusta National. It's true. My wife said it when I played her that video from Amen Corner, and we were there. One of the things that I wanted to do, because one of the things that you bring seats, you have Masters chairs. We bought our seats in the clubhouse. We put them on the 17th tee, so we could see the 16th green. We put our seats, our chairs down, and walked to Amen Corner. And we were sitting in the bleachers as the sun was starting to come up over the azaleas and all the oak trees. Everything that you have ever imagined about the Masters is true. If there is a heaven, that's what it looks like. I mean, it is surreal. And the thing that blows me away is how well it's run. Like, there is no time wasted on anything at that golf course. You don't stand in line for food. You don't stand in line for the bathroom because they know why you're there. It's to watch the greatest golfers in the world. And it's just the workers are incredibly nice. It's just, I want to go back thinking about it. I want to go back and follow Tiger Woods's group. It's just, it is unbelievable.
All right. Ian St. Clair, thanks so much for your time, my friend. Thanks to Melissa and Adam and Terry behind the scenes. If you're not already subscribed to the podcast, please do so. And follow me on Twitter at Holden Radio. And thanks for checking out the Denver CityCast on the Bet Rivers Network.
Thanks for listening to the Denver CityCast on the Bet Rivers Network.